I'm Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
I'm located in the back portion of my basement. That's where my studio is. And when we got this house, the first time we looked at this house, by the way, the realtor did not show us this room. And I'm thinking is because it was a grow house, which I know for a fact it was, but I'm thinking that's why he didn't take us back there, because we were from LA and he probably thought it would freak us out, which it probably would have. And then when we came back to look at it, when he knew we were serious, lo and behold, there's an extra room in the house. And I was like, oh, cool. It's multiplying. The house is multiplying. And so that's where this is now, where I do the podcast, where I write my music and all that kind of stuff. Anything creative, sort of my space. It's a grow room. It's where marijuana was grown. And so it only is a perfect match if you're trying to relate growing marijuana to growing creativity, in which case I've won that round. Anyway, so when I disappear back here and shut this big wood door, I just give them my family the heads up. You know, I got home and cleaned up the kitchen. Lisa's still working downstairs, and I kind of got the notes done, and then I went down. I said, okay, I'm going back. And she's in her studio, which is in the front of the area, the garage there. And I walked in, and she's watching a video. Guess what? Game of Thrones analysis. That's what she was watching while she was working. Game of Thrones analysis, which is basically nerd on nerd porn. It's the way that I like you. It's not enough to watch the show, which we did last night, and it was great. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't need to see a guy to analyze it who is frankly probably a little too sweaty. It's correlation or causation. I don't know. I'm just saying that guy looks exactly like the guy that I would have described to one of those sketch artists. If they said, what does he look like? I would have said he looks like a guy who would analyze a Game of Thrones episode, and that's the guy that they would come up with. But we know that, you know, a lot of eyewitnesses' testimony is not correct. So again, it's more complicated, hence the podcast. So she's probably still watching that, by the way. I'm having a little glass of wine. I'm home early on a Monday. I've been really busy. I've been busy at the resort. And I do find, as much as I love that if I don't, you know, kind of check myself before I wreck myself, then all of a sudden the stuff that I am most passionate about, which is that, but also this, falls by the wayside. And I gotta draw a line and go, you know what, I'm leaving early today. I got stuff to do. If I'm working on the weekend, I got to bust out the podcast. I'm going to leave early. So I did that. I mentioned it because I'm freaking proud of myself. Yeah, that's what happened there. did it. And I got a video, more video to shoot. Like I'm ready to get back into the game, as it were, post-race. With the exception, by the way, and I don't even know how this happened. I mentioned it last week. I know why, but it's just so amazing to, and I don't want to overuse the word amazing, so, but it's kind of amazing. And here's why, because for years this didn't happen, but I'm writing a lot of music. I have like 10 songs, nine and three quarters. This one last song is in the works. It's close. And that's that, by the way, folks, just so you know, albums worth of music. That's what that is. Albums worth of music. For those of you who don't know what an album is, it's actually more than one song. Music used to be the thing where you would listen to an album and get into a state of mind long term. We can't afford that anymore. We got to buy the hits, get over with while we're eating a Twinkie. It's all fast. We got to get fast, 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 fast. If we feel uncomfortable after listening to a song and eating a Twinkie, that's why we have Pepto-Bismol. State of the world, you guys. State of the world. I don't think it's that bad. I really don't. Here's what's bad, and this is a problem. I have a problem with this. I signed up. I was listening to a podcast, as I all do, and there was an advertisement, and I'll like to support, you know, people who support podcasts because I think it's pretty cool. So if they're supporting a podcast that I dig, then I'll give them a try. One of them was coffee related. I'm not going to mention the name. I'm not going to lambast a coffee company. I don't want to badmouth them. You might be happy with them. I was not happy with them. I signed up for the discounted first thing, and then I hung out for another one to full price. I said, okay, I'm going to give you guys more than one chance because the first one was a fail. Here's why. They give you the little thing. They ask you your little thing. Did I go over this already? I'm having a deja vu, but whatever. Here's the deal. they give you the you take a little survey and you write down the kind of coffee you want. Dark roast, everybody, dark roast. The first coffee arrived, it was definitely not dark roast, but I gave them another chance. The next one arrived, it was labeled French roast. Absolutely not dark roast and absolutely not French roast. Here's my issue. Dark roast, I can see some subjectivity there. I can see somebody's opinion that that is dark roast. They may be blind is probably my guess, because clearly whoever saw this coffee did not know what dark, the word dark actually means. It means not light, but that's, hey, I'm a scholar. So that's kind of subjective. But the second one was labeled French roast. Now that's fighting words. Why? Because that's not up to opinion. There is a French roast. It's an actual roast. It's a thing that's defined not by me or by any one person. It's French roast. I mean, it probably wasn't in the beginning, but it's French roast. That's the thing. So when I open the bag of French self-labeled, they labeled it, not me, and it says French roast, I expect that freaking bean to be French roast because it's not up to me and it's not up to them. So that didn't happen. I mean, it didn't happen. It's not French roast. Objectively, it was darker possibly than other roasts, but not French. I mean, the French are the one that's probably invented it. The French invented French roast. Hello. This roast must be French and it must be dark and oily. That's the best I can do on the French roast. Anyway, the whole country of France would be embarrassed if they knew the color of the roast that I unbagged. It was pathetic. So I discontinued. I'm not going to support him just for the sake of supporting. I like the idea, though. I was like, okay, independent coffee maker, coffee roasters. I'm all for that. All for it. Roast coffee. I've been roasting coffee for 20 years. My roaster's busted. So I have not been doing that. But I've been buying actual French roast. This was embarrassing. Have I gone on too long? A little bit. Here we go. Anyway, so that's that. I have to make a quick thing because I was a guest on a podcast called Fit Dad Fitness, and it's fitdadfitness.com. Nice guy. I don't know if he knew what he was expecting when he had me on there. But we had a really nice conversation. I think he was like, oh, okay. Well, that's what you do, and that's kind of cool. He's fit, and he's a dad, and he's into fitness. Is he fitter than I am? Look, I'm not going to split hairs on this. I'm just going to say he's way fitter than I am. He's bald too, though. So that makes sense, right? Maybe that's why he had me on. He's like, can't be that bad. Guy's bald. Mm. Okay. So that's happening. I'll link to it in the show notes. You know me. If you live in Oakland, I'll be down there this weekend. That's the extent of what I do now with the announcements. It's been very liberating. When I describe this podcast to people, they're like, so what is it, like your other one? I go, no. No announcements, no websites, just barrel through. It's like a fast steamroller. Turn it on, finish it up. And I get a lot done in this time of, it's all the podcast, right? Where's my wife? She's watching Game of Thrones analysis. Who's more productive? Who wins this round? Who wins this round? I win this round, everybody. You want to know why? She's not listening to this podcast. She did text me a while ago. She goes, I listened to a few. Those are good. You have good. They're good. I go, oh, all of a sudden, I think as I was talking about something that she was, maybe the social media stuff or whatever, she wanted to give it a shot. And she thought it was okay, which is good because she could clearly have just not said anything and I wouldn't be the wiser. I just assume she doesn't listen to the podcast or me. No, I'm kidding. 25 years of marriage, you guys. Going strong as far as I know. So this episode is part of a something I've thought about for years, and I mean like years. I think in around 25 or 30 years. And this is what happened. So way back in the day, I graduated from UCLA. I've told the story 1,000 times, so I'm going to keep it short. I graduated from UCLA and I was an indie rock musician. And before I got into acting, I was working at the audiovisual services department at UCLA. So it was this great place with a bunch of artists and all this kind of cool stuff. But it was managed by this guy, nice guy, and he taught me how to manage. Really incredible manager, by the way, like incredible. But he was Hare Krishna guy. And so he was talking about the Bhagavad Gita. I probably mispronounced that, so sue me. Bhagavad Gita, and then Bhagavad Gita. God, it just literally slipped my mind. Anyway, there's a Hare Krishna temple in LA. We would go there for lunch and he would show me like the kind of stuff. And so he gave me that book, and he wasn't like proselytizing really work, but we would get into discussions because frankly, we were on the public dime. And so we had a lot of free time. It's either that or watch Field of Dreams for the 10th time on Laserdisc. You guys remember Laser? It was the size of an album, but probably bigger. And in the summer when there was nothing going on, we would just go to one of the auditoriums and we were audiovisual. So we'd hook up freaking Field of Dreams is the only Laserdisc we had. And we'd watch it every summer. I was there for like 5 years. Anyway, so we were talking about the Bhagavad Gita. And I was reading, so I started reading it. I read a good amount of it, actually. And I was reading it at home and kind of checking it out. I was a philosophy major. So I was like, I'll check this out, right? And so I'm reading it and I see some, and I hope I'm not ruffling any feathers, but whatever, this is just my thing. So I'm reading and I'm finding like some inconsistencies and sort of like circular arguments, like if this leads to this and this, and then it goes back to the first one. Well, that doesn't make sense. Like that's kind of illogical. So we got into this discussion. And so I went back to work and I was like, listen, I'm like reading this and there's like stuff that's kind of, first of all, pretty simplistic, like not kind of that intelligence, but also just, and this was like in translated by Prabhupada, the guy the businessman who started Hare Krishna in the United States. And he does, it's like his translation as it is, like this is what it is. And I'm finding just kind of trite, kind of a little bit of bullshit. Sorry, but that's, the restaurant at the temple had pretty good food. That's all I'm going to say. And also, I always remember they would not let women clean the statues if they were having their periods. And I thought, huh. Anyway, so I go back to the thing, I'm talking to him and I go, there's this like some inconsistencies and there's some contradictions. And his response was, well, you're reading it as a scholar. You can't read it as a scholar. You can't read this as a scholar. And I did not like that at the time. And I still don't freaking like it. And here's why. Because I'm sort of like, and I guess at this time, thinking back then, faith must be, if this is your argument, and I know that that biblically there's some things like that too, that faith must be about handing over thought and questioning. It must be like, okay, I'm going to hand this over to you because it's faith. And so I'm going to read this and I'm not going to read it critically. I'm not going to read it questioningly. I'm just going to read it and let it sink in. And if there's stuff that doesn't make sense, well, by golly, hand that over. Because that's not how you should read a sacred text or religious text. You should read it as just a person of faith, meaning if that doesn't make sense, then that doesn't make sense. Now, who am I to question? But the problem was, and even then, and it certainly has become more concretized in my brain since then, I believe that to question is part of our design. Now, here's where we get in a little tricky subject, because maybe you don't believe that we were designed by another being. I don't know. I don't care, actually. More on that in a minute. But regardless of whether you think we were designed or not, it is definitely part of who we are right now, our species right now. It is, whether there's a master designer or not, we have the ability to question, and I think we do better when we do that. Again, that's what I believe. I believe that when we apply our thought and our criticism, our critical thinking, we cut through bullshit, frankly, and we actually can get to a point of greater truth. That's where I stand on that. What pisses me off is this idea that, oh, well, that's how you read it. Well, you're reading it through a filter. Well, every human being reads something through a filter. Every human being looks at something through a filter. We interpret reality because of filters. God, I was listening to this insane podcast. I'll talk about it more on sleep. It's the scientist who's been doing sleep studies. Good Lord, how that affects how you interpret reality and all this. I mean, when you're sleep deprived and how it affects you emotionally, it affects your immune system, shuts down this sort of prefrontal cortex that sort of says like, I'm craving this croissant, but I'm not going to have it. Well, that whole not going to have it thing gets shut down and you're just like pure emotion. And I'm just, again, another way that I'm looking at the world going, wow, well, that kind of explains a lot. But neither here nor there. We all see through filters. We all see through filters. So for somebody who believes in a sacred text, when you question it all, for them to say, well, you're just reading it through a filter. Well, so frickin' are you So let's at least understand that. That is, by the way, how you can have 50,000 different opinions about the same sacred text, i.e. the Bible. Obviously, not everybody believes the same freaking thing because there's fighting. Got it? So everyone believes that their interpretation is the number one thing. One of the 15 billion problems I have with organized religion. But okay. The question is, are we designed to question? The question is, what happens when we apply critical thought? And when it comes to religion, which is, by the way, such a huge part of the conversation in today's world, especially in the United States, especially with regard to politics, especially with regard to, you know, evangelists who think Donald Trump is the end-all be-all, but can't make sense of that. I can't. I'm whatever. But the discussion is there, and religion is brought up to, you know, candidates. Are you religious? Blah, blah, blah. Again, I have a very definite opinion about that. I have been researching. I think I'm going to start a new religion at some point, and I've already looked up the name, so you're going to hear it here first. It comes from the Greek word askitos, and I love Greek, by the way. Total Greekophile. My best friend growing up, James, he was Greek, still is, and I would go to Greek Easter every Easter time. Greek Easter is different than the other Easter. And Greek Easter, by the way, is the better Easter. In fact, it's the best of the Easters. It's the best Easter. Why? One word, ouzo. That's the reason why Greek Easter is the best Easter. But it's just so fun and family and this guy Artie with a freaking accordion walking around. It was just great times. Anyway, I love the Greek. Love the Greeks. Love the Greeks. Lisa and I went to a little teeny island called Sifnos for our honeymoon. I would live there if I could. I'd split between there and Scotland. Ouzo in the winter and then Scotch in the summer. That's my dream. I'll start a crowdfunding for that. Okay, so anyway, askitos, which means irrelevant, unimportant. So my new religion, asceticist. I'm asceticist, how you ever pronounce it. I got to work that out, asceticist. Meaning, whether you believe in this interpretation or that interpretation, what you believe in terms of how we were created, what the creator is, it's irrelevant. Why? Because we can understand with what we see in our world here that there are better ways and worse ways to live. We understand without having to hand over our ethics, handing over our morality, handing over our values to something external to us. Forget about God, but how about the freaking priest in the church? Yeah, you tell me what to do and I'll do that. We don't need that. We actually don't need that. We don't need that. We can be moral and ethical just using our brains and to understand. And I'm not telling you not to believe what you believe. I'm saying it does not actually matter in terms of how we can work best as a species and how we treat the earth and the other species on it and how we treat each other. That can be informed. In fact, oftentimes informed better without the external stuff and with more critical thinking. And it leads me to believe that perhaps true religion lies beyond and lives beyond any church or some sort of mediation. And in the effort to fully realize ourselves and to fully define our relationship to others and the world, maybe that's where true religion lives. It's in our effort to define our own relationship to others and the world. Or maybe not. I mean, what in the heck would the world look like if it were full of free thinkers, if it were populated with people who looked at things as objectively as possible, understanding there's a filter, but really trying to look and understand and question and then consider their actions based on what they see, not what they're told, but what they see. I mean, God forbid that happens.
Distrust in the concrete is the only thing strong. I notice you want an absence and I'm waking up torn. the only things around me. And here I am, pinned down by consequence, by consequence, by consequence, by consequence, by consequence, by consequence. I won't be told what I can and can't believe.